Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. I'm on this side, and Harold and then Tim on this side, they got me coming. Got me going this morning, but that's good. We had a good time. Appreciate y'all. If you're visiting with us, I'd like to welcome you. If you would, you can take the insert that's in the bulletin and fill it out. We'd like to have a record of your visit or anything. If you have any need to be contacted or got any questions, you can also use that and just give it to one Brother Tim or one of the deacons, and or you can put it in the offering plate, and we'll make sure it gets looked at and taken care of. Don't forget, this Wednesday night is a conference at 7 o'clock, so if you can, please be here for that. Standing in the Gap Men's Ministry is November 16th at 7 p.m. That's just around the corner because today's the 5th. Okay. January 22nd, that's on a Monday, at the Titus 2 Women's Ministry, please, at 6:30 p.m. Mark your calendars for that, ladies. Deacons meeting today at 3:30. Choir practice will start back next Sunday at 5:15 p.m. So we would like everyone that's here to be here for choir practice. How about that? Everyone's welcome, okay? And we'd love to have you as we plan for these holidays and all. Any other announcements?
The 19th at 6 p.m. will be the community Thanksgiving service at Union Spine.
November the 19th, that's be Sunday night, be a Sunday before Thanksgiving. At 6 p.m., we will not have church here. We will go to Union Springs for the community Thanksgiving, and that's at 6 p.m. So if anyone, we would like to have a good attendance. If anyone needs transportation or something, once again, let one of the deacons or let Brother Tim know, and we will make sure that that happens. We'll make arrangements, because I know everyone's remembered they set the clock back, didn't they? Yeah, everyone's here. Well, it's going to be dark at 6 o'clock tonight, y'all, so we won't go into that. But any other announcements, y'all? We had 30 in Sunday school this morning. That's a praise. We need to continue. Any birthdays, and then I'll do a prayer. Any birthdays?
Miss Carolyn.
I knew somebody. Miss Carolyn, they said you had a birthday. I was looking out, but they called you out. We thank you for she was looking at me. When they call it out, I have to do it. But I know we do. We are so thankful to Miss Carolyn and everything. And I see you have some family here. I want to thank y'all for coming today and everything. Any other birthdays? Well, I'm going to let Harold King.
Well, you can go ahead and play. All right,
Miss Carolyn.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday.
As we go into our prayer time, we need to continue. We need to remember Miss Linda Hall. She's, as far as she's in the hospital, had a fall and some other medical issues and all. So we need to remember her and Jane Phillip and the family. And we need to continue to remember Angie Freeman, too. She's not doing well on that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come today, Lord, just as always, Lord, as we start off our worship service with prayer today, Lord, praising your holy name and thanking you for being our Lord and Savior, Lord. And Lord, we just want to pray for Miss Linda and Miss Angie today, Lord, and the others, Lord, that are on our prayer list. We want to lift them up to you today, Lord, and just, Lord, we know you are the one that's in control, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that your will is to use the doctors and the nurses and watch over these two ladies and the others, Lord. Lord, but I do just want to take this time, Lord, to lift up our worship service today, Lord. We'll lift Brother Tim up to you as he stands before us, Lord, and as we know he'll do, Lord, he'll proclaim your word today, Lord. He will lift us up, Lord, encourage us, Lord, as he always has, Lord, but he'll also challenge us, Lord, to do your will, Lord, as we talked about in Sunday school today, Lord. We are to remain alert, Lord. We are to remain faithful, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that through this worship service that we will just grow closer to you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Huh?
Video. We have a video?
Yes.
Okay.
When I was about 1 year old, my father was killed. After his passing, my mom just really could not deal with the pain of losing her husband. I kind of had to step up and be the head of the household at a very young age, 5 or 6 years old, taking care of my sister, looking after my grandparents, going from cottage to cottage and begging for food because I was too young to work at that time. I was mostly concerned with my sister Tanya, though. She was my main priority. Not having very much, we still had each other. So while I was taking care of Tanya, you know, my mom was coming in and out of the household, and when one day she showed up and she was pregnant with my youngest sister, Ilona. My mother, in her drunk state, fed Ilona alcohol instead of milk. When Ilona passed away, I decided that Tanya and I would run away in search of a new life. We got on the bus and we left. We eventually got hungry, and so we started collecting empty bottles to trade those in for money and then use that money to buy food. And so as we were doing that, the clerk called the police. So that's when the police came by, picked us up, and first took us to the police station to question us. They decided to take us to a detention center. My mom was notified where we were. They asked her, they said, "Do you want your children?" And she said, "No, I don't want them." When my mother's rights were taken away, Tanya's biological father was notified. I remember Tanya's father telling me, "I'm taking Tanya home with me, but I don't want you because you're not my daughter." All I could feel was heartbreak, but I knew that I had to let her go. After losing Tanya, I didn't think about the future. It didn't matter anymore. I just remember on that day feeling very abandoned. No one cared about me. After about a year at the detention center, I was transferred to an orphanage. Because it felt so empty, I started praying on my own. Without even knowing God, I was crying out to him, asking him to give me a sign that everything was going to be okay. There is a purpose for me. Every night I would pray, and that is when Operation Christmas Child came to our orphanage. I cried and I was so sorry.
You're doing awesome.
This is the day that I received my Operation Christmas Child shoebox. Once I opened it, there were so many different things in there. But I remember my favorite item was a yellow yo-yo. To me, that yo-yo represented hope. It was an answer to my prayer. In that moment, I knew that this was the sign that God was sending me, that you are not alone. You are not an orphan, you are my daughter. And that's when I knew that God is real and that he is with me. The orphanage sponsored a choir trip to the United States for 2 weeks. Because I was on that choir, I had the opportunity to travel to the United States. And during the second week, I was hosted by a family in Virginia.
We were at an event in the morning, and we went to go out to lunch, and Elizabeth had fallen asleep in the back of the van, and I looked back at Elizabeth, and I heard, this is your daughter. That was supernatural for me. It was just, you know, I knew that the spirit had spoken to me at that point. So I was fortunate enough to take a photo of that. I still carry that with me today when I knew she was my daughter.
They sat me down and they asked me if I wanted to be adopted. I said, yeah, duh. Of course. They all flew out to Ukraine together to bring me home as a family. And this was the moment right before the plane touched on U.S. soil. And that was the moment that I officially became a U.S. citizen. It was a special moment. After my adoption, I had told my parents about this amazing gift that I had received at the orphanage and how much hope it brought me, what it meant to me, and we decided to pack as a family. My mom said, why don't we pack 2 shoeboxes, or maybe 3? And I said, no, we're going to pack 100. Over the years as a family, we have packed over 8,000 shoeboxes. Operation Christmas Child is a part of my life, so anywhere I go, I always bring it with me. Starting as a family, packing shoeboxes, going to college, and getting people involved there, going to grad school and having my friends at grad school get involved and professors get involved, people at my gym. Anywhere I go, I'm always gonna take it with me. It was the first seed that was planted in my heart. The shoebox was a seed.
That's good stuff there.
Great ministry. Our call to worship this morning is hymn 411. Let's please stand as we sing, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
this hymn, 410, you dwell with my soul.
Blessings all the heart, and that we continue to follow you and guide them. sometimes we hear a song, or I guess she played that song a while ago, just now. She played it at the funeral a couple of weeks ago, almost a month ago now. And man, that song just stuck in my head, and for those tears I died. And as you think about that and think about what Jesus has done for us, just moves you. So thank you, Miss Sissy, for playing that this morning. I'm going to invite you, if you will, to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 this morning. I want to talk on a subject that might rub some of you wrong today. And if it rubs you wrong, that's okay. You can get over it. Amen. Really, the issue of this is we find some words of Jesus, because it's probably not going to be my words that offend you, it's going to be His. And so, as I always like to think about it, it's His fault, right? So if we don't like these words, I want us to question ourselves, why do I not like them? Because they're harsh words, and I believe that they are probably going to be the saddest words that are ever going to be uttered to anybody here on earth, whether you are a church member or not, because you're not judged. You will not be judged on being a member of Wigan Baptist Church, amen? You won't be judged on being a member of Taylor Baptist, First Baptist Church. You won't be judged on being a member of any church here on earth other than the Church of Jesus Christ. That is what you and I will all be judged on. And so I'm going to just jump right in and read this passage, because Jesus, we've been starting to study on the Sermon on the Mount on Wednesday nights and working through that, and I know I'm kind of hitting ahead of this, but I want us to understand, because this isn't just a Wednesday night topic. This is a Sunday morning topic. It's an everyday topic. Let's read what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have read your word, God, I pray that you give me the strength, the boldness, Lord, just to preach your word, and to do it in a way with compassion, but also, Lord, with conviction. Because these people that you were talking to were religious people. And so, Lord, help us to know and to understand, Lord, where we stand with you. And, Lord, help us to not be the ones who will be told, "Depart from me," because you never knew us. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus says here in these verses, he says, "I never knew you." He didn't say, "I once knew you." Right, because some people believe they can lose their salvation. And that's not what he says. He didn't say, "I once knew you." He doesn't say, "I used to know you." He says, "I never knew you." In other words, from the beginning of time to the end of time, yes, he created us, he designed us, he has a plan, a purpose for us, but he does not have a personal relationship with us. Now, when we think about these words, we realize that Jesus qualifies these words. And he says a simple fact there in verse 21. It's because they don't practice what he's told them to do.
let's look back at it for just a moment. In verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? Let me just ask this question. Don't raise your hands. Don't say amen, hallelujah, or nothing, because it's between you and God. Are you doing the will of God for your life right now? If you said yes, hallelujah, praise God, amen. But I would almost assume that some of us are saying no. So the question comes down to why? Why are we not doing his will? You see, time and time again, Jesus tells us throughout the gospel that if we want to be his disciple, we must take up our cross and do what? Follow him. But oftentimes, we're not taking up his cross. We're too busy doing our own stuff. Jesus makes a qualifying statement here. But he who does the will of the Father in heaven. You see, we can claim to know Jesus, and we're going to get into some of this in just a moment. We can claim to know Jesus, and we can do a lot of good things in Jesus' name. Right? I'm going to just put this out. I've never cast out a demon. Okay? But people have. That Jesus doesn't call them liars. They're making true statements about what they've done and how they've taught and how they've preached and prophesied and how they've cast out demons from people in the name of Jesus. They knew all about Jesus. Problem was, Jesus didn't know them. Jesus didn't know them. And I'm afraid today in our church is the reason why we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in the church is sometimes because the church members don't have the power of Jesus in them at all. You see, you back up chapter 7, verse 20. You see, context determines meaning. In verse 20, it tells us, by their fruits, you will what? By their fruits, you'll know them. So the question comes to, let's just use this illustration, agriculture. Sunday school class today, we're talking about agriculture. We're going to talk a little bit this morning, too. If I take one of these kernels of corn here and take it out there in the springtime and the temperature gets just right, and I put that seed in the ground, I water it, and I fertilize it, what am I going to get in return for planting that kernel of corn? Well, I should at least get one more ear of corn, right? Maybe two, maybe three, depending on the species or how it's been genetically modified. But the purpose here is, science says that on each cob of corn, you have about 800 kernels of corn per ear. I should get an increase of corn. Oh. Jesus is speaking to us, and he says, by their fruits you will know them. My question to us this morning is simply this. If we are a Christian and we are growing and we are producing, what should we produce? Other believers. If we're a disciple of Jesus, we should be producing more disciples. You see the connection by their fruit, you will know them. Are we producing fruit that honors and glorifies the kingdom of heaven? You see, there are millions of people who are probably in church today who have never done anything Jesus told them to do. They claim to be Christians, right? But are they living it out in their lives? they haven't placed their faith in Christ at all because somehow they think they've been raised in church and they've always been a good person. They've always done what was right because, you know, as kids growing up in church, you learn what to do and what not to do, amen? And so you think you just fit in. Well, I'm not as bad as Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, and I'm not out drinking. I'm not running around on my wife. I'm not killing anybody, and so I'm a pretty good person. And so we have this idea that I really don't need saving. I just need a little bit of help. Amen? There are people who have never repented of their sins. They've never turned from them. They're not following Jesus and they're not following his teachings, and yet they claim to be Christians. They believe their ticket is purchased. They believe it's been punched and their entrance into heaven is guaranteed. Just like these people here in verses 21 through 23, oh man, they thought if anybody should be in, they should be, right? Because they want into heaven. Does anybody here not want to go to heaven? We all do. But have we made the proper arrangements? Has Jesus done the proper work in our lives to allow us to enter into his heaven? Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. If you love me. And here, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. We would say we all love him. But are we conscious about doing his will? Are we consciously trying to each and every day obey his commands for our lives? Because here's the thing, we kind of like to pick and choose what we like in the Bible and what we don't like. Amen? If we don't like what it says, we do what? Don't change pages out of your Bible, okay? Don't do that. But sometimes we treat the Bible that way. We think it's trail mix where you just pick and choose what you want out of it. But that's not how we should do the Word of God. We should take it as a whole and say, listen, if it confronts me, if it convicts me, if it aggravates me, if I don't like it, I need to understand why. And then when I understand why, I need to repent. I need to turn and follow, because if the Bible says something, it is true and it is eternal, as we've learned in Sunday school this morning. It's going to stand the test of time. And so if I don't like something in here, who has a problem? It's not God. It's me. And so when I come to that place in the scripture that I may not like, I may not understand, I need to ask why. Why is this offending me? Because if we're not doing the will of God, then it should offend us. It should offend us. So the question comes down to, if we love the Lord, if we love God, are we keeping his commandments? If not, well, we need to ask the question why. Because I think there's two answers here that could possibly be the problem. Number one is we could not be saved. We may not be saved at all. And we've been going through the motions. We've been playing the church game. We've been doing everything because that is the quote-unquote right thing to do. We are in the situation where we're trying to get through it, hoping that one day our good outweigh our bad and that somehow the Lord led us into heaven. And that could be true. That could be you. You might have been playing the game your whole life, escaping free, being a good person. Can I tell you, good people don't go to heaven, saved people do. Good people don't go to heaven, saved people do. And it's only through the blood of Jesus that we can earn entrance into heaven. It is only through a personal relationship with Him that we gain entrance into heaven. There's a second reason maybe we would answer that I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I'm not living how He wants me to live. And that would be because we are backslidden. We don't like the word backslidden, do we? You know what backslidden means? Have you ever climbed up a mountain in the rain? Now, y'all don't have a problem around here so much. I have a good friend of mine has a place over in Alabama up there, other side of Fort Gaines on the Alabama side. And I was up there hunting with him one time. We were going up the hill on this little ATV, you know, holds about 6 feet long. And me and Shane, my son, were sitting on the very back on the tailgate of it. We're going up this incline, this drizzling rain, and this muddy and that clay and all that. And as we're going up, I start sliding out. And guess where I end up? On my backside in that wet clay and mud. And so I'm trying to get up to where I can get, you know, Eric stops the ATV and I get up and I'm trying to climb back up to the truck. Guess what happens? I'm steady sliding back. That's how some of us may be in our relationship to God today. We were at this point in our lives somewhere in the past, but yet we have allowed sin, we have allowed situations and circumstances to cause us to slide back. We used to do. If something is not growing, it is what? It's dying. Now, I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but if we're not growing in our faith, if we're not growing in our walk with the Lord, we can't trust on yesterday. Yes, there's a time and place where we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is that time and we should remember it. But if he's not actively working in my life today, I need to ask why. I need to ask myself why. Why am I not growing in my faith? And then I need to correct myself. So, well, Brother Tim, I thought Paul said that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, y'all remember that verse, Romans 10:13. Paul said that, and so you say, well, why is Jesus saying not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven? Because here's the thing. Some of us may have walked the aisle and prayed a prayer because the preacher told us to pray, and the only reason we walked the aisle is because a friend walked the aisle. Amen? That happens a lot. It happens with kids. It happens with youth. That happens even with young teenagers and adults. That they do that because they get caught up in an emotion, but it may not be the emotion that God is pulling them to Him. And they were told, say this prayer. So they say this prayer. And then it's when they need to get baptized. And so we set a date and they get baptized. And then we say, okay, you need to join the church. And so what do? They join the church. And the problem is maybe they were never saved in the first place. Because they cried out, they prayed a prayer, Jesus saved me. Forgive me my sins. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Amen. They didn't mean not one single word of what they prayed. They just prayed what they were told to pray. Amen? You see, when we realize how much of a sinner we are and how much it took for Jesus' blood to save us, we should cry out like the tax collector did in the synagogue, Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You see, because it is more than saying a prayer. It's more than just crying out to the Lord and in prayer and saying, Lord, save me. Can that save you? Yes. If it is heartfelt, if it is true, if it is your desire, then yes, he will save you. But just because somebody kicks the door on the way to the bathroom during the middle of the night and cries out, Lord, are they going to heaven? No. So we need to examine ourselves. Because the Bible is always true and it is always right. So when Paul says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord is true. But so is Jesus saying, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Because it's a relationship of the heart. It is us giving ourselves to the Lord. It is us crucifying ourselves so that we can follow him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are what? Disqualified. You see, there's a lot of people who come to the point of, some of you may have read this book, Radical. Y'all know. You see, there's a lot of people who are familiar with Jesus. There are a lot of people who are fans of Jesus, but they're not true followers. That they come to a point in their life where they're up there on the edge and Jesus is saying, come on. Can you, have y'all ever did that with your kids in the swimming pool? Anybody ever really had a swimming pool? And you take your kids and they get there to the edge and you want them to jump off so you can do what? So you can let them hit the ground, right? No. You let them do that so you can catch them and let them know that you have got them no matter what. Amen? You have God, and you can trust Daddy, you can trust Mama, and that same way that God was saying, you need to just jump off. You need to trust me. You need to understand I have got you. But some of us say, well, I'm going to get here on the edge, and I'm going to tiptoe down in the water because I don't want to get overwhelmed. I don't want to get fully immersed in him. I just need a little bit of him. You know, I believe Jesus wants us to give our all to him. Listen to these verses. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, or with the life I now, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Does that sound like Paul was holding anything back? Was he holding anything back? No. No. You see, salvation is a total surrender of my life so that Christ can live in me and through me. It's not for me to live for myself. It is for him to live through me. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You know, well, I've probably quoted it already 40 times since I've been here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a what? A living sacrifice. For something to be sacrificed, what does it have to do? It has to die. Holy. How many of us are living? Y'all aren't raising your hand. How many of us are living holy lives? How many of us are living a life that is acceptable to God? And it says, which is your reasonable service. You know what reasonable means? It's the bare minimum. So many times we get the idea, well, I'm gonna give my life to the Lord, but I'm only going to give him so much. I'm only going to let him have part control. I'm only going to go so far, and that's enough. And then he goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what we sang a song a while ago, trust me, try me, didn't we? No, we sang trust and obey. That's what we say. That's what we're saying. Trust and obey. Same thing. Am I trusting him? Am I obeying? Am I proving in his life what it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Man. Romans 6, 1 through 6. Paul writes this, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You see, there's a difference that happens when we trust in Jesus. And that difference is that we are no longer in control of our lives. It is about him being in full control. Listen to me. This is probably not on the screen because I don't think I had it on there. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. I'm going to read this to you. Because Jesus is calling people to follow him. Man, he makes a powerful statement here. Jesus said this, because one guy came to Jesus and he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And that's verse 57. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And listen to what Jesus said. I did put that in there. Good. Jesus said, no one, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? You see, there's a lot of us that said, Lord, I'll follow you. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Right? We sing the words with our mouths, but we don't mean them in our heart. Because the moment he tells us to go across the street and witness to somebody, what's our first response? I'm not going. I'm not going. You see, a lot of us, we want to follow Jesus. You know what happened to Lot's wife? We'll just do a backtrack for now. I'm going to chase her out. You know what happened to Lot's wife? God was bringing them out of destruction, right? He was bringing them out. And he said, he tells them, don't look back. What do they do? They're going on, and Lot's old wife, she got to missing where she used to be. Right? She got to missing all that homosexuality and all the perversion that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And she was longing in her heart for where she used to be. And when she turned back, what did God do? Pillar of salt. You see, some of us in the same way have treated God the same way Lot's wife did. Right here, we think we've got a relationship with the Lord, but every time he asks us to do something and move forward and not keep going back, what do we keep doing? We keep going back to who we used to be and doing what we used to do. And so the question comes, did there ever have a change in our heart? Did it ever take place within us? You know, God wants to save me from my past so that I can live for Him in the present. He wants to save me from my past so I can live for Him in the present and in the future. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. The saddest day for anyone will be the day they stand before God on the day of judgment and have to give an account of themselves to the Lord. And He says to them, listen, I may have been at church every Sunday since you were born. I know you were there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I know you used to teach the Sunday school class. I know you used to preach. I know you used to prophesy or tell people. I don't think we can cast out demons, but here's the reality of it. Is they'll say, Lord, we did all these things, and He's going to look at them and say, you know what? I never knew you. I never knew you. You never gave your life to me. You never obeyed what I told you to do. You always did your own thing. Yes, you were faithful in church. But you know what? Being faithful in church doesn't make you a member of my house. Here's the thing. So why would Jesus tell people to depart from God ever knew? But let me ask you this. If you didn't know me from Adam, and I walked up to your front door of your house, and I knocked on the door and said, I want to come into your house, what would you tell me? You would tell me no. Why? Because you don't know me. Why would our God let anybody in His house He doesn't know? See, relationship matters. Always has and always will. These people, as I've already stated, they taught about Jesus. They taught Him. They knew all about Him. They knew all the Sunday school answers. They knew all the information there was to know. But Jesus didn't know them. Man, look at these. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And are we truly living for Jesus? Are we truly living for Him? How did Jesus know His disciples here on earth? It's easy. They were the ones who walked with Him, right? They talked with Him. They had a relationship with Him. Whatever He ate, they ate. Whatever He drank, they drank. They went together where they lived together. They did life together. He knew them because they knew Him. It was a two-way street. Does God know us this morning? Does Jesus know us? Are we doing the will of the Father? The first will of the Father is for us to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first act of obedience for us. Believe in Jesus Christ, that He is virgin born, that He is the Son of God, that He came, lived a perfect life, He died on the cross for sins He did not commit, He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. That's the gospel, that if you and I put our faith and trust in Christ, of Christ alone for salvation, He will save us. But then there comes another part, not another part of salvation, but another part of obedience, because the first act of obedience is to believe, and then the second act of obedience is to follow and obey. Follow and obey. Are we following Him? Are we doing the will of the Father in our lives? Are we sharing Jesus with others? See, it's not so much about what you know. It's not so much about who you know. It is about Jesus knowing you. When He comes again, or when He calls you home, will He have any trouble deciding whether you're one of His or not? See, my kids, when I look at their pictures, even their baby pictures, you know, I see a lot of them. They don't look exactly like me, but I can see myself in them. When Jesus looks at you, can He see Himself living in you and through you? If not, why not? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we on this time invitation. Lord, some of us here today might say, you know, I've played a part. I've lived a decent life. I know who Jesus is. I've learned all about it. Lord, maybe they've never put their faith and trust in You and You alone for salvation. Maybe they've done great things. Maybe they've been a Sunday school teacher for years. Maybe they've served on the deacon board. Maybe they've even preached the gospel. But Lord, they themselves are not known by You because they have never fully surrendered their life to You. Lord, I pray today will be that day that, Lord, anyone here who has never put their faith and trust in You, Lord, they can be saved. So, Lord, I pray that they would do so. But, Lord, for others, maybe we've just got to the point in our lives where we say, well, we've done it all. We've done it in the past, and we can hang our hats on our laurels and just say, you know, we used to do this, we used to do that. Lord, You want us to fully surrender our lives, our total lives to You. So, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that whether it's for salvation, whether it's to just, Lord, rededicate their lives to You, whether it's to repent, whatever it may be, Lord, that we would make those decisions, Lord, that would honor You. Lord, I pray that You would have Your way in this time, and that You will glorify Yourself. I pray it in Jesus' name.